640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Former President Donald Trump was in and out of Atlanta's Fulton County Jail in about a half an hour. But while he was there, he was booked and photographed, and he now faces more than a dozen Georgia state charges connected to alleged efforts to change that state's presidential vote in 2020.
Trump and 18 others are accused of participating in a conspiracy to overturn his 2020 presidential election loss. After surrendering to authorities and being released, he says,
"If you challenge an election, you should be able to challenge an election. I thought the election was a rigged election, a stolen election, and I should have every right to do that."
The booking process only took 20 minutes. CBS's Graham Cate says Trump legal team shuffling has added Stephen Sadow to his defense team.
Very well respected in the city for handling a lot of really big cases, a lot of racketeering cases.
Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
And continuing our coverage from Atlanta, CBS's Nicole Killian.
Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene told reporters she's very angry about what's happening right now, and that really is the sentiment that we heard from a lot of the demonstrators. Some of them telling me that they feel this entire experience is demeaning for the former president, that they believe that he didn't do anything wrong, but at the same time, they feel that his surrender could embolden him politically.
Hundreds of thousands of people in Ohio and Michigan are in the dark at this hour as severe weather slams into those states and several nearby ones. Apparent tornadoes touching down, flipping over vehicles, causing roof damage around Lansing. WWJ-TV's Stacey DeFord.
We are getting reports of lots of damage. We've got roads closed. We've got flooding in the area. That system moving out of the area, heading over the water. And we are going to see that continue to move out throughout the overnight hours.
The number of people confirmed dead in the nearly destroyed Hawaiian town of Lahaina now 115, including the first known child victim, KGMB-TV's Chelsea Davis.
They know that there were, unfortunately, children that passed away because Maui is a small community and people know everyone. And so people knew that. We don't know how many, but they were hoping that those answers came out at some point.
It is not a last-minute scrub, but several hours before a scheduled launch of a NASA and SpaceX astronaut mission to the space station.
The launch postponed for 24 hours to allow mission managers to close out a couple of items and to resolve just one minor technical issue with one piece of open paperwork.
NASA's Rob Navy is saying they will now try for Saturday morning, 3:27 a.m. Eastern Time. Dow futures are up, other futures are down. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast, every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board. Greg's going to be here for a while.
Yes, I am.
Jane's out for a little bit, and so we got Greg just on the board. I mean, you're here until mid-November. Basically, no. You and I?
Well, yeah, but I'm going to...
You're here permanently. You work for Civic Media, yeah. But I'm saying on this show, you're going to be on the board until September 12th.
Yep. You said November. I'm like, wait, I am?
Oh, no, I said September.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say November?
You said November, but it's fine.
It's fine.
Do you remember? Yeah, I'll be here until mid-September.
Mid-September.
That'll be really fun, and I'm looking forward to it. And Jane... Have a good vacation.
Yeah.
You've earned it.
She has. Well, that first hour of today's show, which you should definitely go back and listen to as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts on Spotify and Apple, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Maybe rate us. Maybe review us. We would appreciate it.
That'd be really nice.
But that flew by. Lots of people with lots of opinions from last night's debate. You know, my last thing I'm going to say.
Yes. Ever?
I think, no. God, no. Come on. If I'm not mistaken, I think the only mention of, of Milwaukee throughout the debate was talking about the shootings that had happened over the weekend.
Yay.
So, you know, it's a presidential debate. So, but I think there was maybe some hope that we talked so much about, and especially in our pregame coverage about Wisconsin, and we're very Wisconsin oriented. Civic Media is across Wisconsin. The show is called As Goes Wisconsin. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Wisconsin voters and where they're at. We talked with Charles Franklin. We talked with Ben Wickler. We talked with during the panel that was not aired. We talked with Craig Gilbert, who is a veteran political reporter on all things Wisconsin. Bill McCaution, who's I know has been a GOP Republican strategist, campaign manager for decades. So I learned a lot yesterday too. But it was interesting just the difference between how much we talked about Wisconsin yesterday and how little I feel like I heard Wisconsin on stage despite the debate being in Wisconsin.
Which I don't think is unusual.
I know.
I mean, at least it's wonderful to be here in beautiful Milwaukee, but then they'd have to give it up for a city, and GOP hates cities because that's where all the crime is.
Yet they'll be back next year.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yes, cannot indeedy. Wait. All right. Well, since we had so many texts and calls to take last hour, we're moving things around today. So now we're going to get to some of the good, the bad, and the, oh, and you thought our leaders were criminals, of headlines from yesterday, because the news did not stop. In fact, as we had the CNN and Fox and MSNBC on the TVs yesterday at Whitetail, there was a lot of news that was that was breaking. We talked a little bit about it at the end of the last segment with Rudy Giuliani surrendering and getting that beautiful vampire-esque mugshot of his. And but one thing that we'll start with the good that maybe you did not hear about, and we'll end with the thing that I don't know if you could have missed hearing about, but the good: brain implants helped a voiceless woman speak. This is, I feel like we need to do more science and technology. Like, we need a whole segment, because I always am just astounded with, as we debate and fight and bicker over politics, like, some of the people who are scientists and researchers and the actual breakthroughs that they're doing that are just so incredible, that is, like, way more uplifting than of the stuff that we talk about. But researchers monitored the woman's neural activity with tiny devices implanted in her brain. They then decoded what she wanted to say at a rate of 62 words per minute. See, I think I can type 62 words per minute, but don't check my, like, typos. They'll definitely have to go back and, like, find all those little squiggly red lines. I'm like, oh, I've got to fix that word.
As goes with scop sons.
Yes, exactly. But yes, a paralyzed woman was able to speak again thanks to AI. Ann Johnson stopped being able to talk after suffering a severe stroke 18 years ago. But a new study in Nature revealed that she could speak again thanks to a brain implant and AI technology that allowed scientists to decode her brain signals and represent them as an avatar speaking words on a computer screen. The triumph, a world first, raises the possibility that brain-computer interfaces and AI can work together to help people who've lost their speech capabilities regain verbal communication. So this is a huge milestone in restoring the ability to communicate to people who have lost it. And it's a new study that relied on technology that's rapidly improving. So, like, this is the kind of AI stuff that I think is less scary, that is also very encouraging.
But the problem is in your brain is all these implants of ChatGPT.
So you just sound like Vivek Ramaswamy then, according to Chris
Hug
Gracie.
Me like you hugged Obama. Hug me like you hugged Obama. Ma'am, this is a Wendy's.
All right, so the bad, which is really bad. Guns killed a record number of U.S. children in 2021. At least 4,752 children died from a firearm injury in 2021. That's an increase of almost 42% since 2018, according to a new analysis from the CDC. And it was the second year in a row in which guns were the top cause of death among children and adolescents, surpassing cars, drug overdoses, and cancer.
All right.
Do you have any? I don't even know what kind of sound effect we would play with that, but that is just.
No, there's no. Anyone who's just sounds offensive and mean. And, I mean, like, all I want to, you know, I just want to have a sound effect of someone shaking their fist in the wind at people who, because you know what's going to happen. Someone's like, well, you know what we need to do? We need to give those kids guns.
Well, speaking of that, good segue. Thanks. Oh, I didn't even know if you knew this is where I was going, but that was a great segue, Greg.
Oh, what did I do?
Crying parents of shooting victims were physically removed from Tennessee legislature. This comes after Tennessee Republicans expelled two Democratic lawmakers for joining gun protests after a mass elementary school shooting earlier this year. So we all remember what happened in March in Tennessee.
Yep.
And yesterday, grieving, was this yesterday? Yeah, this was yesterday. Grieving, crying parents of school shooting victims were among the protesters removed from a Tennessee subcommittee meeting about a new law to allow more guns on school campuses on this was Monday afternoon, sorry. So basically, they are trying to pass a law that would allow gun permit holders, police officers, and military members, both active and retired, to carry a handgun at any public school building. And protesters, including those who were parents of the children who died in the Covenant school shooting, were there holding signs and small signs, like printer paper signs, like 8x11. And they got physically removed from being there because they were considering a bill that ruled that members of the public were to be barred from holding up signs, but some protesters still held small signs that read, "One kid over all the guns," as well as a book called Joaquin's First School Shooting and a scarf that said Covenant Strong.
You know,
heaven forbid they be confronted with their own decisions.
Not only that, but it does just sound like a textbook infringement of the First Amendment. The government telling people they can't say what they want to say. They can't.
In the people's house.
In the people's house.
Of Tennessee. It's,
like, what do you do? You're going to be 0 for 2 on this one, Tennessee. I mean, it's. I wish, you know, this isn't a joke, by the way. What I'm about to say isn't a joke. I wish you could put me in the head of one of these individuals for like 30 to 40 seconds so I could understand why they believe that the only way to solve the problem is to pour more of the problem on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I sometimes believe these people are mentally ill, and I'm not being funny about this, because to me, to arm teachers, to arm whomever is in the school, that just sounds like crazy talk.
Yeah.
And you can't make me understand why that's a solution.
All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left.
Comedy.
The biggest news, I think, from yesterday.
Yeah.
Even more than the debate.
Oh, my God.
Would be 2 months after leading his Wagner group mercenaries in a revolt against the Kremlin, Yevgeny Prigozhin appears to have died in a plane crash that some believe was orchestrated by Vladimir Putin.
Putin.
The footage from that was wild.
We got done with the show yesterday. I stood up. I started walking over, looking at my phone, and all of a sudden I just see this little dot in the sky falling to the ground. I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, my God. And there were like three. There was the first angle that had like the pillar in front of it that you couldn't see too well. Then there was a clear shot. And then just the plane on fire.
And, you know, to a certain extent, as far as this is, I don't know if being shot out of the sky is textbook. I think most of the time when we hear about the Kremlin assassinating people, there's usually like poison involved. But there were some reports that Prigozhin was thrown out of the plane before the plane was shot down.
God.
And I have to say, when this all happened 2 months ago, when it was like they were calling a mutiny and a coup, and then there was just like magically a solution that Prigozhin was gonna go to Belarus and ever, like, we're all good now, like, handshake.
It's like that scene from Scarface.
This is not done.
Yeah, it's like that scene from Scarface with the helicopter. Like, this is a message.
Yes. And I just have to end as far as, like, we have a lot of problems in our country, and I think there are some people who would argue that we've had criminals, maybe currently have criminals, some people want to argue for, as far as our leadership. But at least our leaders aren't just blatantly and unapologetically throwing their enemies out of planes.
Yet.
So, all right, when we come back, let's give away some Brewers tickets. If you want to go to the game on Sunday, give us a call, 844-967-2789. I may ask you your thoughts on pumpkins.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies overnight with lows around 64. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour. Highs around 80. Tomorrow, cloudy. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 62. Dry with temperatures a bit below average Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the low 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Driving late at night, I don't know what's on my mind. I'm on 25 with my pumpkin spice. Everything in time, hope I make it out alright. Chilling at the light with my pumpkin spice. I don't even know why I feel so lonely. I don't want to die, so I'm driving.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And it is too damn hot for pumpkin spice to be back. That is my, you change my mind, because I'm not necessarily a pumpkin spice person anyways. I feel like one is fine. The joyous reaction of many when pumpkin spice is back in season at Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. But when it's 110 degrees, it doesn't feel like fall. It is not time for pumpkin spice. And yet people in the Midwest are welcoming the pumpkin spice latte back despite our 100 degree weather, because that is when Starbucks has decided that fall has already started. And so I want to get the thoughts of some of our callers who called for, we have some callers for the Brewers tickets.
Oh, we got so many callers.
We got so many callers for the Brewers tickets. So just a reminder that you, We have four tickets to give away, so we'll give two away. But we don't have, like, a question, so I'm just going to take people's thoughts on pumpkin spice, which has nothing to do with baseball, but I guess it does have to do with fall, because the playoffs.
Fall Classic. Early.
Fall Classic,
there you
sure.
go. And if you're calling, just stay on the line until I get your information in case you do win. 1 second. All right, we're gonna throw it to Oscar, calling all the way from Madison. Oscar, tell us your thoughts.
Tell us your thoughts on pumpkin spice. Is it too soon?
I think it's too soon, especially with the weather so hot right now.
Right? Like, who? I mean, even if it's an iced latte, it feels like the flavors in a pumpkin spice latte, iced or not, is not what I still want. Watermelon. I want fruit. I want flavors of summer, of lemonade. Yes, exactly. When it is the fall, are you a pumpkin spice person?
No, not at all.
Never.
So no matter what time of the year, I don't like it at all. So.
All right. Well, you want to win some tickets for Sunday's game, though?
Yes, I do.
Absolutely. All right. Are you, have you gone to any of the other games this year so far?
Yeah, I went to a couple games this year. So.
All right. Well, I think, if you're going to make the trip down to West Allis and to the Milwaukee area, let's give them to them. You got two tickets for Sunday's game against the Padres at 1:10, Oscar. Now, do you typically listen to our show, or is you a new listener?
Yeah, listen. Yeah, I listen while I'm working, so yeah.
Nice. What do you do?
I tune in at 11. I do maintenance outside, so I'm trying to figure out some stuff to do inside today. So.
Oh, yes. Please, please drink water and take care of yourself if you're working outside. Because
yeah, definitely.
I grew up in Madison, and it's a lot more humid in Madison than it is in Milwaukee, no matter what.
Oscar, do me a favor. Stay on the line and get some information from you.
Okay.
All right.
And just a quick reminder before we take our next caller and get their thoughts on pumpkin spice, that these tickets are brought to you by tuning in to our flagship brewer station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, which you can listen to throughout the Fox Valley. And you can also catch the game, the Brewers game on WRCE, News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. Greg, who do we have next?
We have got Lynn from Oconomowoc.
Lynn from Oconomowoc. What do you think about pumpkin spice?
Oscar?
Too sweet.
Too sweet, right?
Whether it's hot or cold, and the weather is hot or cold, pumpkin spice is too sweet. But I love pumpkin bread.
I also love pumpkin bread. That is a good point. So do you ever shop at like a Trader Joe's type store when like everything in the fall just becomes like there's pumpkin spice cookies, there's pumpkin spice crackers, there's pumpkin spice everything. It just like takes over.
I have shopped at Trader Joe's, but I don't mind baked goods.
Okay.
But other, I don't like. Well, I love pumpkin pie.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. See, it's timely. It's like it's I don't know. It's specific things, but I agree with you on the actual pumpkin spice latte. But I'm also someone who drinks my coffee like black with maybe a little bit of cream. Like the sugary frappuccino thing. It's like it's a dessert, but it's not a go-to.
Right. I'm a mocha drinker, and I'm just reheating my second cup of Cafe Verona.
Oh, okay. Well,
I grind my beans.
Nice. So you make them at home?
I do, and I feel guilty not buying the $5 lattes at Starbucks.
You mean you feel guilty that you're not buying them, or you feel guilt free that you're not buying them? Because that seems a good financial choice.
I feel guilty. I feel guilty that I don't visit Starbucks very often.
Well, I think that's okay. I think it's probably smart for you to make them at home. But you are going to go to the Brewers game on Sunday. So congratulations to you. Greg is going to get all of your information. And for you and for Oscar, if Oscar is still listening, when you go, make sure you take a picture, have fun, say hi to each other. And if you tag Civic Media and As Goes Wisconsin and anything you put online, we would really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Kristen.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for listening. And to everyone else who called in that we could not take your call, we'll have more tickets. The season's not over. We'll have more tickets to give away. But Greg is still on the phone getting information from. Can we have time to take Cindy's call, or we got to go to break?
Got about 1 minute left.
Can we take her?
Let's do it.
Cindy, what say you?
Hey, Christine. Well, you were talking before the Brewer tickets about how we don't have leaders who throw people out of planes yet, but we did have a leader that tried to overthrow the election, and we have a bunch of potential candidates that are willing to support him. So, you know, I really don't know which is worse.
Well, that's what we had to go to a break, and so that was kind of where I wanted to go with that conversation as far as are we on our way to, if we let this slide, does that not open the door for a Putin-type authoritarian government? And so I totally agree with you as far as to be that brazen. Maybe we're not there yet, but we got to be careful that we don't get there soon. So I totally agree with you, Cindy.
Yep, thanks.
All right, thanks for your call. Thanks for listening. When we come back, J.R. Radcliffe's back. It's been a minute since we got to talk to him, but he's got some Brewers updates, we got some Packers updates, we got some college football updates. So we will hear all of that from him when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Updates. So we will hear.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Fulton County Sheriff's Office is reporting several more of ex-President Trump's co-defendants turning themselves in at the Atlanta jail after midnight, including ex-Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark. That hours after Trump was booked and photographed, but insisted,
if you challenge an election, you should be able to challenge an election. I thought the election was a rigged election, a stolen election, and I should have every right to do that.
He did challenge it in dozens of court cases that he lost. Around Lansing and other parts of Michigan and Ohio, too, severe weather causing severe power outages and other problems.
We did see some wind damage. We saw some hail. We saw lots of flooding. We're still getting reports on all of the damage from these storms.
WWJ-TV forecaster Stacy DeFord. NASA SpaceX officials huddling late Thursday about today's scheduled launch of a crew mission to the space station.
Resulting from that meeting was a decision to postpone the launch for 24 hours.
NASA's Rob Navia, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
I really totally care who wins. If there's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports. They tap their opponents numerically in the allotted time. Lest they disenfranchise their audience and see their revenues decline. May the partakers be sturdy and rapid in the spirited energy.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board.
Hello.
J.R. Radcliffe is back. It's been a minute since we've seen you, friend.
It has been a minute. I didn't realize there's such a deep catalog of sports songs, you know, songs
kind of riffing on the same joke, like what we had there. That's a new one. I had not heard that one before.
You haven't heard that one on this show before? We've never played that one for you? I guess sometimes I...
There's always something, a sports song, but like I feel like you've got more than just one or two. You've got a deep bench here.
Jane really enjoys, like, her, I think one of her greatest pleasures ever since becoming the producer for the show is finding parody songs. And she just keeps adding to the catalog. And so that is, and especially because Jane is not necessarily, how do I say this? The biggest sports fan.
No, she's a small sports fan.
She's small. She knows enough because she works in radio and the news. But I think if this was not her job, she would know nothing.
Yeah, that's I definitely appreciate that. Perhaps that's why I'm here, to enlighten the masses. I hope Jane is listening to this segment.
Well, she might be.
I hope she's not.
Yeah. We hope that she's actually taking a break.
Yeah.
A good break. All right.
But that is your job, legitimately, is to know all of the things about all of the sports, because J.R. Ratcliffe is a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports reporter capturing social stories and trending local sports topics. So you don't just do one beat, like one sport, one team. You kind of do it all. And so we're going to kind of cover it all and see everything that's going to happen right now in professional sports and even a little college sports. Have you done any high school sports yet? Did you cover any of the high school football that started last week?
I did not. Not this time. Okay. Fun fact, though, I did cover high school sports for almost 15 years. That's how my career got started. So I was deep into the high school sports scene for a long time. I confess that I'm quite a bit removed now and probably don't have a good sense of what's going on. But
you've done a couple. Like, you did some stories about the quarterback, the female quarterback from last year.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, occasionally I'll dip my toe back in, and I think I went to state football last year, state basketball. So I get to parachute in now to the big events. I used to despise those people when I was covering every week, and then here come the big timers in for the big events. Well, now I also show up just for the big events. I've gotten soft.
That's fair. That's fine. All right. Well, let's start off with the Brewers. How have the Brewers been doing? Besides their very... I talked to some people who went to the game yesterday, and they said it was
hot. Very
hot. Very, very hot.
The action was hot, too.
Yes. Well, it wasn't for some of the game, but yeah, by the end, triple digits. You had Abner Uribe throwing a ball faster than the temperature at 103 miles per hour, so that was impressive. And then, the most importantly, they won. They won in extra innings because on a 100 degree day, you need extra innings, of course.
Gosh.
But the Brewers win that game. They sweep the 2-game series for Minnesota. They've now won 5 in a row. They've won 8 of 11, I think it is. My math on the fly might be poor. No, I think it's 9 of 12.
I think you say 9 of 12. You said this morning when we were talking about this.
Yeah, 9 of 12 because that includes sweeps in Chicago against the White Sox, who are not very good. So that's not a surprise. But in Texas, also hot in Texas, and that's a team that is a first place team, very good team this year, and the Brewers went there and swept. So they're playing as well as they have all year. This is definitely an upswing for them. They are more games above 500 right now at 13 than they have been at any point this season. They've got a 3.5 game lead over the Cubs and the Reds. There's a lot of suitors for these playoff spots, and the Brewers are not out of the woods yet. They're not a slam dunk playoff team at this point, but they are sitting pretty. They have, I think, kind of an okay schedule going forward. Big series against the Cubs coming up next week, and then that could sort of help people see where this is going ultimately. But right now things are really good for the Brewers.
And yet, our showing against the Dodgers,
poor.
Not great.
It was not good.
Not great.
I think they got 10 hits in 3 games. They definitely scored, 3 runs in 3 games. Wasted a really good Corbin Burnes performance, and it's key because There are two great teams in the National League. There's the Atlanta Braves, there's the Los Angeles Dodgers. Everybody else is kind of pretty equal after that among the playoff contenders. So they have to be able to beat the Braves and the Dodgers. The problem is that they're 2-10 this year against the Braves and the Dodgers. They've gotten swept in LA. They just got swept in Atlanta not that long ago. And those are important matchups because the Brewers will face one or both of those teams. If they do get to a World Series, they're going to have to beat at least one of them. They might have to beat both of them. So that's a concern. The one thing you can say is that the Brewers, the guys who pitched in that series probably aren't the guys, across the board that will pitch in a playoff series. Corbin Burnes did face the Dodgers, but they didn't have Woodruff and Peralta in that series. pitching. So you could argue that still the randomness of baseball or just how things line up, if they get into a playoff series, their chances aren't necessarily better or worse because of how they fared in the regular season. But it is hard to see the Brewers being better than one of those two teams over any long stretch. At least that's the case right now.
Yeah. Well, it's still exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, too, is the Twins were the other first-place team they beat, too.
That's right. Their record not quite as impressive. But
No. And that's the thing that's interesting about the NL and AL right now is that the Twins and us we're both first-place teams. We're the only first-place teams in our divisions in those leagues that have less than 70 wins. Or I think the Brewers now have 70 wins, but, like, such a low win percentage to be in first place is very interesting to me.
It's a product of just the central divisions. Both the AL and NL have been very weak all year. And actually, at this point, the AL, I would say, is quite a bit worse than the NL because the Twins have a worse record than the Brewers, and they are probably almost certainly going to be the representative out of the AL Central. So that has played to the Brewers' fortune to some degree this year, that the teams in the division haven't really risen up. It's enabled the Brewers to stay near or in first place pretty much all year long. But we've hit a stretch here. The Cubs have really asserted themselves. They're a good team, and they've really kind of been a sneaky, decent team all year long. And now they're bordering on good, especially if they can get their pitching together. And the Reds have kind of stuck their nose in there and been a problem since July. So it's not a deep division and beyond those three teams. You know, the other two teams aren't very good, but still, like, it's going to be kind of neck and neck for these three teams down the stretch for the Central.
Well, would you say it's the same thing? Cause, like, I always feel like with baseball, and this is why we have people like you and Paul Noonan come on. Cause it's, unless you're like Greg, who's a very big fan, like, I kind of just, it's until we get to playoff season, it's kind of how the NBA season is too. It's just like, we won, we lost, we're kind of here. And then all of a sudden you start to, like, for those of us, I'm not quite a bandwagon fan, but I pay attention more when it feels like the consequences are a little bit higher.
For me, all season long, the wins are so wonderful. The losses are so,
devastating.
They're
brutal.
Pangs in my stomach.
Well, I know it's pangs in your stomach that you do not get those same pangs from the Packers.
Who?
Yes. So, speaking, moving on to what takeaways, because we've had a couple preseason games. Any big takeaways from those beyond, obviously, the big story that came out of Saturday's game was that the game got suspended. And so we did not finish it against the Patriots. But anything that you've been seeing that gives any indicators as far as what we can expect for this season? Because it's like, as I keep saying, what I think is exciting about this season is, like, no one knows what to expect, really. And so, as someone who has a keen eye on this, do you have more expectations? Or do you have any predictions as far as what you've been seeing?
I'd say it's probably just what I would have expected coming in. I mean, the preseason, you just don't get enough out of preseason to know where your starters stand. You could certainly learn a lot about the depth of your team. And there are some spots, like safety, for example, if you want to get a little more granular about it. The Packers they don't really have any good safeties. I mean, they got a couple guys who will make this team and a lot of question marks after that. So from that standpoint, you learn a little bit. I would say that, you know, the big story is obviously Jordan Love. He looks okay. I wouldn't say he looks earth shattering. I wouldn't say he looks, you know, incompetent by any means. He looks good. So I think there's some reassurance there that he can work in this offense pretty well. I still don't think we know a lot about how it's going to, you know, like when they open up against the Bears, I still feel like that could go any number of directions. Yeah. I don't know if we have a really good sense yet.
Which will be exciting. Right. I feel like there's less room for disappointment. I think at least the last two seasons, maybe even the last three, it's felt like opening game day and we've just gotten smashed and had a terrible first game, and it's just such a bad way to start the season because there's such high expectations with Rodgers here, and every year was our year and how good we're looking. And there's something about going into this year that feels like, I don't know, so you can't be let down.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. There's the less room for disappointment is a good way to put it. You assumed every year with Aaron Rodgers they had a chance to go to the playoffs, and if they didn't, it would be woeful. Or if they didn't get to the Super Bowl, it'd be bad, and there was a lot of disappointment. Here, it's such a wild card, you know, like they could go 9-8 and it would be a really good season.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe they miss a playoffs by a game and it's viewed as a disappointment. You know, like, honestly, it could go any number of ways. This division is kind of weak too.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad divisions. So there's an opportunity for them to still be good. But even if they're not good, it could be a solid season depending on Jordan Love's development.
But then on the flip side of another football team, I feel like expectations are very high for the Badgers.
This is true. Yeah, this game, they open up the season September 2nd against Buffalo. That game is not as follows in the Big Ten season, but yeah, a lot of buzz, just an incredible amount of buzz for new coach Luke Fickell. You know, they've got a bunch of transfers in there. Quarterback Tanner Mordecai is a brand new player. This is a very different
kind of have a new team. I mean, I don't know exactly. I'm not going to pretend that I know like the lineup from last year compared to this year, like the back of my hand. But it's like just hearing headline after headline after headline after Fickell was announced as the new coach of this transfer and that transfer and this guy's here and all these new players, with the kind of expectation is like, we are now in some massive super conference, and the reason that Fickell got hired is because we have to be competitive and they're going to pay the money to do that. And like college, this is kind of like the end of an era, right? Like last season was kind of the last season of college football as it's mostly been known, with the different conferences, with it not feeling like, I don't know, like NFL light.
I mean, yes, we still have another year before things really start to kick in with the Big 12, Pac 12, the essentially the elimination of the Pac 12 schools from the West Coast moving into the Big 10. That'll all officially start next year. But yes, college football is in complete flux. College sports in general is in complete flux. And you're right. You're seeing super conferences a lot closer to a, you know, it's not so much about a regional thing, which is what college sports has always been. It's more of like a conference, you know, the NFC, the AFC sort of thing. That does bring in a lot more money. It does mean the Badgers need to be more competitive. It seems like AD Chris McIntosh made this hire with one eye on that, bringing in Luke Fickell. And the transfer portal had already become a big part of it. He was very active in bringing in players. There are a lot of new faces, a lot of old ones too. There's still going to be like Braylon Allen, the running back, and a lot of guys on defense. Well, some of the guys on defense, there are going to be a lot of names that people recognize too that are going to have to be huge contributors here. The entire offensive line, with one exception. So, But obviously quarterback play, they'll be throwing the ball a lot more. It's a totally new offense. Their offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, is a very different vibe for the Badgers compared to how they've typically run their offense. So it's going to be a completely different look, even if the names are some of the names are the same. It's going to be really exciting. You know, Badgers fans have not had this. They have not had a team that looks to pass the ball really ever. So It is a new dawn, and yeah, to stay competitive, you got to keep up with the Joneses. The Badgers have a really they're okay. They're in a decent spot to do that with, you know, with some of the new hires and the ability that they've shown to bring in transfers. Like I think they can have a really good season. They should win their division, which is not littered with any of the toughest teams in the Big Ten. So they should be able to do that, playing it for a Big Ten title. Maybe they have the game of their lives against Ohio State. I don't know. There's
you can always hope
here.
The Ohio State eye roll. That's a different. We don't have enough time for me to talk about Ohio State. But all right. Well, it's good to see your face, man. We're always happy to have you here and get your insight on stuff. But J.R. Radcliffe is a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports reporter who captures social stories and trending local sports topics. Follow him on Twitter. Check out all of his articles on Journal Sentinel, JS Online. And we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, we'll see you again.
All right, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, we're going to actually get to what's coming up at the Laughing Tap this weekend.
Yay.
This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Sports go sports. They're the competitors you prefer best, their opposing equivalents. So you can somehow feel connected to the feed of your self-appointed constituents. May the hours you spend watching post-match pontificators amplify the thrill of being a witness and better your predictive aptitude for your squad. Future physical fitness, sports go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes. Go team, yeah! Sports go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes. Go team, yeah! Go team, yeah! Sports.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast today with daytime highs approaching 80. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 62. Partly cloudy. High of 73. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies Sunday, with highs around 73. 79, chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we didn't get to talk about it yesterday, so let's talk about it today. Who are you guys having at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Your voice has been very, like, relaxing today, by the way. Like, hello, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin.
You know, sometimes I just channel my best ASMR impression, and we go for it.
You'd make millions.
I should. I feel like I could do it. I feel like I'd be good at it.
You got some time coming on your hands soon, so.
And I also will have a baby to try to keep to sleep, so maybe I can practice on her.
There you go. So this weekend we have got two different kinds of shows happening. So Friday we have what we call the Local Laugh Series. It's a showcase of Milwaukee and other regional performers. That'll be Friday. That show is at 7:30. Tickets are available right now. You can go to laughingtap.com for your ticket needs on that show, 7:30. And then this Saturday, we've got two shows with the one, the only, Mr. Matt Bronger, who has been on, he's got like five records out. He's been on, he was on the show Agent Carter, the Marvel show Agent Carter. He was on a show called Uploaded on Amazon Prime. He's just been everywhere, done everything, and he's super fun. Two shows that night on Saturday, 7:30 and 10. 7:30 is almost sold out. Get those 10 o'clock tickets. Get those 10 o'clock tickets because this is a wacky man coming in to sell some wacky jokes. I got a clip right now to give you an idea. Let's listen right now.
If you got the right person, they'll make you love stuff you never loved, you know? Like, I used to hate Las Vegas, as I used to play there a lot, and I would, like, just play for, like, crap money, and I'd eat in the cafeteria. Oh, casino cafeterias, where the workers eat. It's like the Irish level in the Titanic, but not fun. It's real bad. And my wife loves Vegas, because she basically pointed out, she's like, look, we're doing better now. We can spend money on things. You're getting better gigs. Thing I love about Vegas is everyone goes. You see every kind of person from all over the world all hanging out, right? Being idiot adults. There's something for everyone in that town. You learn stuff about yourself. I learned I like watching young people get wasted, you know? Not like a creep, not like, that one's almost ready, start the van. Not like that. Get the zip ties, he's about to pass out. Not like that. No, just like, I feel like a retired professional athlete, you know? So when I was younger, I used to get blown out. I had a Herculean tolerance, and I used it and abused it. I still drink, I still get it on, but not like I used to, because I'm old now. But I like watching someone with the metabolism of a jungle cat go nuts. It's fun.
So that's a taste of Matt Bronger. Also a cast member of Mad TV back in the day as well.
Really?
Yes, he was on Mad TV.
God, that show.
He is a very funny performer and a very nice person. And this is, we've worked with him a bunch
of times. Not to be confused with Matt Bomer, who's the hot guy from the actor. He was in like Magic Mike and he was in White Collar and.
Oh, no. He was also, that guy, I believe, was also in The Heart Goes On.
The Heart, I don't know that one.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but yeah, he's not. That's not the same guy.
Okay.
No, it's Matt Bronger. If you look him up, he's.
How do you spell his last name?
B-R-A-U-N-G-E-R.
Bronger.
Bronger.
I was hearing Brommer with an M.
Bronger.
Okay.
Yeah. So he'll be coming through. Tickets are, I believe, 22 online, 25 at the door. This is considered a special event. Still no drink minimum at the door. At the
Never
club.
A drink minimum.
Never a drink minimum.
Love that.
But this is a special event, so tickets are a little bit more expensive, but you are getting someone who has been literally all over the world on television, in movies, and we're very happy to have him. I've had the pleasure of opening for him before, and he just... super nice guy. And I will say this, too. The lineup that night, you're going to get Adam Burke featuring, who's been on Wait, Don't Tell Me. He's a regular feature on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I would love for this show to be more like Wait, Don't Tell Me.
We
need more time to write future. Jokes.
We just need a staff of 30.
That's true. that is true.
And research elves.
Well, I think there's a lot of comedy writers right now who are out of work. You think we can get any of
Oh, you want to cross that picket line, huh?
No, how is that crossing the picket line?
Because they're writing. They're not supposed to be doing anything.
But they're not supposed to be doing work for... struck companies. We're not a struck company.
Okay. All right, then cool.
Because I think they're writing for like Crooked Media and like
did you see that A24 got taken off their list because A24 said, yeah, sure. You can have it all.
Yeah.
Can we just make a movie now? Like I just like that idea. Just some CEO's like, yeah, sure, take it. I don't care. Can we just make a weird, scary movie now that's gonna be weird and scary that Greg won't watch?
Speaking of Greg though, when are you performing in Madison?
Oh geez. Okay. Let's
talk about it.
Let's bring expectations down a little bit, folks. My friend Chastity Washington, who I have worked with many times, who is, in my opinion, the funniest comedian in Milwaukee, opens for Roy Wood Jr. This is more about a plug for her now. She is going to be headlining at Comedy Club on State in Madison, the last weekend of September. And on the 28th of September, which is a Thursday, I'm going to be doing a guest set. So it's a 5-minute set. You're not going to see me doing a bunch of comedy. It's going to be 5 minutes. It's going to be fast, but it'll be funny because you got to bring that funny on a guest set. And yours truly will be there the 28th of September at Comedy on State with the lovely Chastity Washington.
That's awesome.
I'm very excited.
You should be excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that will turn into more work, but we'll see.
Because you don't have enough going on.
Well, I don't want to stop doing stand-up.
No, I know.
I love doing stand-up.
I know.
I consider myself a stand-up, like, first, before everything else I do, I'm a stand-up comedian. That's what I think of myself.
No, which is good, but I would say it's also interesting because it's the balance of, that is like the balance of most artists who are not, who have to do multiple jobs to do their art.
Yeah.
Finding the creative bandwidth to continue to do the thing that, like, you love most. While still paying the bills.
And other people do like podcasts and side work writing. I'm like, I'll work in radio and a brewery. And I'm like, I must have ADHD. I have no focus whatsoever. I'm like, I'll get jobs nowhere near my, but honestly, like they all have to do with my creativity. That's the great thing. You can channel your creativity in different ways. So whether it's radio at a brewery doing tours.
Brewery. Yeah. Your side gig isn't like accounting. Like, I'll do your taxes. All right. Well, what a fun show today.
It was fun. Thank you to everyone who called. Like, everyone who called.
Tons of callers. We're going to try, you know, with everyone who called for Brewers tickets today, keep listening, because we'll have more Brewers tickets for sure. We have tickets for almost every home game. So thanks to everyone who called. Thanks to J.R. Radcliffe, as always, for giving us our sports update. We'll be back tomorrow. William Walter from Town Call, who you can, if you continue to listen, will be up next with Luke Mathers. But he will be our civic media crossover tomorrow. C.J. Safer is going to be back, and we're going to talk some... Ooh. Maybe we'll talk about the debate and get a conservative's point of view of what he heard last night. And we're just going to have a fun Friday show. So come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. But this has been As Goes Wisconsin.
The kids are heading back to class. But when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.